I am Bailey. We've met.
I'm the Canadian. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow.
The worst part of that was I didn't even say sorry as a joke, and I realized it halfway through saying it.
That is pretty bad, Jason. Welcome to episode 71 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I really do recommend Warlords on the Atari 2600 for a fantastic four-player experience, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I think, therefore, I game.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I brought the worst game I have ever brought to date.
No way.
Wait, for this week's showdown, yeah. Or from last week?
The week before? Advanced Lawnmower Simulator.
This one's gold.
You've brought some pretty crappy games before.
I have.
Jason, let's be honest.
And I will continue.
Well, he's brought some really great games, too.
True.
Let's keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
like, I'm actually still intrigued. Jason, what was the PC game that you didn't bring it to the showdown, but you
no
brought
one
it
lives
up about.
Forever.
Yes. That game looks very cool.
You should play it. It's great.
I would love to. I got a backlog list that's...
Yeah, I know what you mean. But
I bet yay big in virtual space, so...
Who tweeted podcast is now live and then didn't give a link? Because that is funny.
It didn't add the link?
No, it just says...
It's like a scavenger hunt.
Podcast is now live, sucker!
Come and find it!
Thank you, Hootsuite. And here's the link.
Nice.
Send now.
Hunter, have fun editing this episode for the audio version.
There we go.
I'm not editing any of it.
Good.
It's just going to be... Nothing's going to be synced
raw,
up.
Raw, unfiltered.
We're all going to be laughing at each other for no reason. Jason's going to be talking about his dog dying. We will be laughing about something completely different.
Wow.
My favorite part of this podcast so far is the fact that Google keeps saying that my Hangout window
is unresponsive. Yeah, it's doing that to me too.
Oh, good. I'm just going to keep hitting wait.
Isn't it amazing how Chrome is saying that Google's other thing is not... Yeah, that's so...
Thanks, Google.
Bogus.
That's technology for you.
Stupid Google. Let's go one week without technical difficulties. Maybe next month we'll do it.
Let's build our own Google.
That's right, yeah. No. It's not a good idea.
I don't even know how to respond to that idea. I mean, maybe. One more Google? No. That's...
I like it. Ah, mother.
One more Google.
One more Google. Mother, what? What happened, Jason? You okay?
I'm good. I was gonna swear.
Okay.
Stop myself.
He's having a mental breakdown.
All right. Podcast.
Woo.
Hey.
Yeah. Woo.
It's about time. Waited long enough. I'm tired of waiting.
Yep. So, what's this podcast about? Old video games? Have you guys
video
been
games,
playing
yeah.
any of those yet? Lately?
The Adventures of Link.
Really?
The Adventures of Link.
I came this close to playing it this week.
Well, you probably should.
I should.
It is easily one of the top three Zelda games ever created.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
It's a true statement, though, so it's okay.
I'm going to
tweet. True statement. Okay. So, hear me out. Let's put aside that it's a side-scroller. Let's put aside that it doesn't follow the quote-unquote conventional means of a Zelda game, because at that point, none of that meant anything. It was the second game in the series. Nintendo was still getting their feet wet, right? We can be in agreement with that?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
I'm with you so far.
Okay. The Adventures of Link is the only absolute sequel to any of the Zelda games. You don't have to look for your sword. You already have it. You don't have to learn how to jump. You already know how. You don't have to look for your shield. You already have it. You are already granted, a fairly stripped-down version, but the predecessor from the first iteration in the series. Mm-hmm. It's not another dimension. It's not another time zone. It's not another whatever you want to look at it. It is the direct sequel from The Legend of Zelda.
That's true. Go ahead.
I
was just going to say, like, when you talk about the protagonist feeling like a different, you know, you're not starting from scratch, it has a different mood from all the other ones, like, especially compared to the first Zelda game. And I started a Zelda 2 game a few weeks ago because I want it to be one of the next games I review. Because in Zelda 2, you get the sense that Link is already this world-weary warrior. Yeah, he's just on a march of vengeance across the landscape there.
He is Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi. That's what he is. So, okay.
That's such a good comparison.
Not only is Link a direct predecessor from the Link that we know from A Legend of Zelda, the world that he's in also correlates to the world in Legend of Zelda. So, if you go back and you play Legend of Zelda for the NES, Death Mountain is to the northwest-ish, mm-hmm. right? If you play The Adventures of Link, it's literally adjacent from where he was playing, where he was adventuring before. Death Mountain is in the lower southern west territory, which means if you put the maps together, it makes one big world, mm-hmm. which makes sense. They didn't do that in any other Zelda game. Nope. Also, and probably the most important part of this whole whatever diatribe thing that I'm doing here, it is the absolute most challenging Legend of Zelda game, not because of broken game mechanics, not because of poor storytelling or gameplay, because they actually sat down, they looked at what was popular at the time, which was games like Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, RPGs, and they said, we want to do that with this, because that's really popular right now. And by doing so, they didn't make... Usually in a Zelda game, you get the Master Sword. Well, the next dungeon that you go to, suddenly all the enemies are harder. They're more difficult enemies. But since you have the Magic Sword or the Master Sword, it doesn't matter because you're still on the same tilt. Now, but in this game, if you don't go out and make Link a more powerful character, you will be destroyed. It's not handed to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, sure, yeah, there's pee bags that are lying around that you can get extra experience points and stuff like that. But you have to grind to get where you want Link to be. And if it punishes you for not being ready.
Mm-hmm.
No other Zelda game can say that.
I also like what you said earlier about it being the only direct sequel. That's,
the rest of my case.
That's interesting because, I mean, I would have loved for there to have been like a Majora's Mask 2. Does that make any sense? Thematically, no, but it seems like if you were to put it in the crudest, bluntest terms possible, every Zelda game is a reboot for the series. That's what it feels like, honestly. Like, they're just so different.
Exactly.
In a lot of ways.
Exactly.
They're not sequels. They're just, there's another vision of how a Link quest could go, you know?
Yeah, it's another vision, you know, or it's another split in the timeline, or however you want to look at it, you know, which is basically just Nintendo trying to, well, and gamers alike, trying to piece together and make sense of the entire universe that's Legend of Zelda. And frankly, you can't do it except for Legend of Zelda to Link or to Adventures of Link.
Yeah.
That is the only connection you can make in the entire series.
I thought in Wind Waker they referenced previous.
Oh, there's definitely, references. I mean, you could even say that Ocarina of Time directly precedes Majora's Mask, but it's an interdimensional thing. In Wind Waker, it's a 1,000 years apart alternate timeline thing. There's always a through-the-looking-glass parallelism.
Right, like the Link that you play in Adventures of Link is the exact same Link that you play in Legend of Zelda. It's not a character who looks like Link, who is called Link hundreds of thousands of years later or before. You know, it's not a descendant of this mystical being, a demigod, basically, that they've made Link to be. It's you know, yeah. It's me 30 years from now, and I'm north.
And I have to say,
in Canada,
I don't even mind the way they do the sequels. I don't mind that they're not direct. I don't mind that there's alternate realities.
Oh,
and whatever.
No, they're amazing.
But it's
some
interesting.
Of them are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's just interesting they've never gone the direct sequel route more often. That's interesting. Can you imagine if the 3DS released Zelda 3?
What do you mean?
I'm just throwing that thought out there. Just imagine Nintendo says, we have an announcement. They put up one image on Twitter. It just says Zelda 3. I think that'd be cool.
Was there ever a Zelda 2? Like,
yeah,
like
The Adventures
two?
Of
like
Link.
Number
yeah.
2?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you
that's
just
right.
spent like minutes talking about it. Jeez, I'm trying to get you all hyped up, and you're like, what are you talking about? There was no Zelda 2.
Yeah. Well, I don't call it Zelda 2. I call it The Adventures of Link.
Fine, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe nobody would get the reference, whatever.
No, that would be interesting. But, I mean, okay, so let me ask you this. With Nintendo's track record with the series, do you really think it would be the next iteration in the series? Or do you think it would be the exact same thing that they've been doing, which is taking a different timeline or, you know?
I think A Link Between Worlds was very successful. That's the newest Zelda game on 3DS, and it's... From what I haven't played it, but I've heard it's an extremely good game.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I don't think they would go like the side-scrolling platformer with light RPG elements route ever again. As much as that, I think that'd be really cool. But
yeah
I don't know. There's still many mysteries.
Especially with
to
all
be
the
had.
Really creative RPG things that have come up in the past 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, where it's not just magic, it's not just a better sword. Like, you've got skill trees and you have traits
and crafting,
like, man, that would be really cool, which is actually one of the things that caught me with A Link Between Worlds, because normally he's either like a farmer or he's just some layabout, but like they really honed in, like, well, in A Link to the Past he was a blacksmith, I guess, or a blacksmith's relation to their then and
nephew
words.
Something
but like right yeah his nephew, that's what it was. But if you play A Link Between Worlds, like, they really, the first 10 minutes is all about Link being an apprentice at this blacksmith. Like, they really hone in on that.
That's
like,
cool.
And say, no, this is your job and this is what you're supposed to do and blah blah blah, and it's like, oh, okay, well, this is different. Like, usually it's just, okay, this is what you're doing and now you're on an adventure. Like, but it was like, no, you're going to go do a job as an apprentice of a blacksmith. And I was like, man, they're going to do something with that. And they didn't.
Ah.
They didn't do anything with it. So.
Way to go, Nintendo. Jason, what have you been playing?
I played some ASP Airstrike Patrol for the Super Nintendo. Spoiler.
I actually own that game.
It sucks.
Oh, it's awful.
I haven't played it. I won't make an effort to now.
It's just brutal.
Well, what makes it so bad?
It's a crappy top-down shooter.
It's like this weird. It's not even top-down. It's isometric. So it's like really weird, like Diablo angle.
So it's like a 16-bit Captain Skyhawk.
Yeah,
I might like that.
Just not as
you
good.
You won't. The controls are awful. It's just awful.
Well, hearing Hunter say it's not as good as Captain Skyhawk, that gives me adequate reason for concern right there. So, good
Wait,
enough.
So I'm curious, Jason, what made you play that game?
Well, actually...
Was it like the first in a ROM list or something? And you're like, ah, screw it.
Yeah, it was
one.
Actually.
Nice. Got it.
I went to play the game and bring to the showdown. And I was like, I should probably play a different game as well this week. And then I played that, and it was just awful. And I regretted every second of it.
Good work. That's what retro video gaming is all about. Yeah. Half the time you're in Nirvana, the other half you're in hell.
How about you,
There's
Bailey?
No in between. No.
I know I haven't done this in probably a couple months, but I'm going to pull a Bailey. I played the game. I'm bringing the showdown tonight. I won't say what, but I will say this. I won't say what game it is, but it's a game a lot of people are familiar with, a lot of people really like. It is. I remember it being tough as a kid, but it's even tougher than I remember. Like, maybe there's something wrong with me, but I suck at it. I could not beat it. I could go back and. But yeah, it's a tough bugger. You have to really.
I already think I know what Bailey. I already know what Hunter's bringing. I fear what you're bringing now.
What's that mean?
What I'm bringing.
I think I know what you're bringing, Hunter.
You have no idea what I'm bringing.
All right.
Did you mention on Twitter earlier in the week or something like that?
No, just I think I know.
I don't know what
we'll
any
see.
Of that means.
Interesting.
Indubitably.
It's going to be a good showdown tonight, though.
Yep.
There's a lot of games with dream sequences.
Yeah.
Like, when you first said it, I was like, wow, that's really going to narrow it down. And I was like, no, there's a lot of, like, even mainstream, huge release, big title games that have a famous dream sequence in them. So, look, it's going to be good. You disagree?
Well, so I did quite a bit of research.
Ooh.
Looking for my showdown pick.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I wasn't looking in the right places. That's the only thing I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't find very many games that were before the year 2000.
Huh.
And I was going to bring this up later, but I guess I can bring it up now. But it's like, it seems like the whole dream sequence thing, like, completely died from, like, 94 until, like, 2004.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, there's a... Well, at least from what I was looking at, there's, like, a huge gap that, like, no notable game had any kind of dream sequence or however you want to look at it in the game. Like,
yeah.
It kind of fell out of whatever, and then now it's popular again. You know, like, I don't know, it's weird.
More things change, the less easier
the
they are
they
to
stay
recognize.
The same. Yeah.
Oh, what you said is better.
But yeah, so I'm done.
Okay. Well,
that was it for me.
Get him out of here.
We are back to being fully stocked on listener email discussion questions. So thank you, listeners, for being so great at that. Anyone, you can send it to podcast@onemorecastle.com. Remember, that's the number 1morecastle.com. And we answer questions on air. This week's question is from longtime fan Dustin Faber. Good to see you again, Faber. His question is, hello to a great show. Hello, Bailey. Hello, Hunter. Hello, Jason. Nowadays,
hi.
Patches and DLC are commonplace for many games. But what 8 or 16-bit title would have benefited the most from this tech if it had existed in the 80s and 90s? What game was broken, but with a few extra fixes could have been spectacular? And what game was begging for extra content? For patches, I think Castlevania II Simon's Quest would have been a lot more fun for people with a patch that changed the text so that villagers don't lie to you. Also, Double Dragon 3. A patch could have fixed the unforgiving AI and made it more fun to play. For DLC, I think extra quests in The Legend of Zelda would have been great, or giving Link additional weapons in Legend of Zelda 2, there you go, along with extra stages in Mega Man 2. Thank you for reading this email. God bless. Dustin Faber.
I hate DLC and patches, man. Like,
so no game's a good candidate in your mind?
Well, I mean, so, no, there's always games. I mean, you know me, man. Like, any game that would make it better in any form of the sense, I am all for because I want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, but there's a reason why certain companies don't exist anymore. Like, there's a reason why Midway doesn't exist anymore and LJN doesn't exist or Atari. Like, these companies decided to bring or to release an unfinished product,
mm-hmm.
or a broken product or what have you. And there needs to be punishment for those actions. If you're not going to put 100% into your product, then you shouldn't release it.
Capitalism!
Well, by having DLC and having patches, as a society of gamers, or whatever term you want to use, because apparently the term gamer is bad.
Whatever.
Which is mind-boggling, but we've accepted that this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go ahead and get the new Madden. Oh, wait, before you can play it, you got to download this 2-gig patch. We totally screwed up before the... Like, some of the stuff... Okay, so he had mentioned Double Dragon 3. Perfect example. they played the game. There was a quality assurance. There were testers. Mm-hmm. They didn't feel that the difficulty level was that bad. Because if they did, they would have adjusted it. But they released it. And Nintendo gave it their seal of approval. Mm-hmm. Which means that it was good to go. I mean, why do these companies need a second chance on the exact same game?
Yeah, I know it doesn't really answer the question, but I'm with you 100% on this. It's a strange reality for me as a gaming dinosaur to see a modern gaming culture that's okay with mainstream games, SimCity, Diablo 3, releasing day one with huge, like, big critical issues. Now, right. In their defense, like, gamers and fans and players got angry and, like, put up a big fuss. So that's, they're all correct for that. It's just weird. Like, the companies have this mindset of, you know what? We've been hyping it. We're ready to make a profit on it. Push it out now. We'll just fix it next week. Whatever. Like, that's such a weird, what other job can you get away with? Can you imagine if Hollywood works that way? Like, you go to the theater day one. And the movie, like, there's this 5-minute portion where all the computer graphics aren't in there yet, so it's all green screen in the background, and they're just,
right,
like, walking in front of it. And then the company's like, yeah, the corrected version's coming out next Tuesday. So go see that one.
No, they'll fix it on the Blu-ray release.
Right. I've never thought of that.
Imagine if a classic, like a whole trilogy, like Star Wars, if George Lucas, like 20 years later, was like, I'm going to release a special edition of it. Can you imagine?
That's awful.
How dumb that would be.
That's an awful idea. Why would he do that? Well, the movies are perfect.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Well, but another thing that comes to mind, and I know we're kind of, you know, off the rails, and I really, because it's a great question. But, like, okay, so the Xbox 360 was showcased at E3 whenever it was before it got released. Every game that they were demonstrating was running at something like 20 frames per second because they hadn't figured out how to get everything they needed into that tiny console, mm-hmm, because they were running everything on PC hardware. And, you know, and these giant beefy machines, they couldn't figure out how to get the hardware right to run the game like it was supposed to at 60 frames per second on their console version. So every game ran at 20 frames per second. And people were pissed, as they should be, because that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This thing's going to be out in 3 months or 4 months or something like that. Like, this thing should be set and ready to go. But then everybody forgot about it because Microsoft went back and they fixed it. They're like, oh, we're sorry. Mm-hmm. No big deal. And it's like, why are we not holding these people accountable for what they've done? Like, why is it, we have such a short-term memory when it comes to society and, hell, when it comes to the internet. I mean, like, everything is so short-term, yeah, that, like,
Google,
you can punch a guy in the face.
Everything every 2 weeks. Stupid.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I am stuck in, what's that movie with the guy with the bad memory?
Memento.
Guy Pierce's Memento, yeah. Like, I feel like I'm stuck in Memento. Like, every time I turn around, somebody jacks me in the jaw, and I'm like, oh, my God, that hurt. Oh, hey, how's it going? Boom! Hit again. I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh. Every time.
We have become analogy black belts tonight. You all get analogy black belts. Good job, gentlemen.
It's just annoying, man. It's just so annoying. Definitely more. I would love, it would have been great to see some prototype, like, weapons and dungeons for, you know, Legend of Zelda, if you had some DLC content there.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, a patch, honestly, and I know this wasn't a very popular game, but it was still one of those games that I always wanted to play, but I couldn't just because of the mechanics, mm-hmm, were so shot. And that was Silver Surfer.
Oh.
Like, when I was growing up, when I was really into comic books, Silver Surfer was one of the guys I'd read. Just love the universe and the way that everything's set up, and I really wanted to play that game, but it's like, there's just, it goes so far off of a tangent from what other shooter games do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if you could just, I would love to be able to have a playable version of Silver Surfer.
Cool. That's legit.
Jason, I'm done. Please go. Well, this is interesting because Jason's
a PC
gamer.
So yeah, I've always
so he
been,
already has.
I've always been used to patches. I've always been used to, okay, you're going to have Doom version 1. Now it's Doom version 1.1 where they've tidied some stuff up. And
right,
touche.
Before DLC became DLC, a lot of PC games had expansion packs. So I'd play Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, and then I could get the expansion pack for that. But unlike a lot of DLC where it's just some weapons and stuff, it was another full kind of narrative. You get another like 6 levels, new voice actors, all that stuff. Even the Red Alert games, they had expansion packs. Nothing was really kind of shipped out as these little chunks. But I can see DLC working for some games, like say a Mario Kart type game. Oh, here's some more racers,
here's some more tracks.
Here's some more tracks, yep. Or even like even a Final Fantasy. Okay, here's some extra dungeons. Maybe there's a cool weapon you can get if you do whatever.
Yeah.
But those are things that add to the game. Those aren't necessarily stuff like horse armor or just so your guy has a hat now. Right?
Yeah. People love buying hats, let's face it.
I've sadly spent money in that game. But
the hat thing still just boggles
my
mind.
It's a hat economy. Yeah.
Like, I've listened to the whole underground mafia hat thing that goes on.
Amen.
Of people buying, you know, and forcing people to sell, you know, rare hats that they don't know that they're rare. Then they turn around and, like, resell them for, what's the currency? Their headphones or the currency?
Earbuds that are worth about 30 keys. And the keys retail for $250 each.
I mean, it's like, I'm not even kidding. I heard a synopsis of about 45 minutes completely defining and explaining this entire process.
I've participated in that. I've traded hats for actual games.
Wow.
So I traded a hat for 2 games, and I traded some keys to a Russian guy because the Russians can buy Steam games for cheaper. So I traded him keys that cost me less to buy than it would the game. And then I ended up getting a game out of it. It's a mess. But
you are the godfather
of Steam.
Yeah, to sum it all up, I'd like some DLC for Wacky Wheels.
that's a good summary there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to sum it all up, if I had
To sum it up, if I must.
Wacky Wheels.
This question for me, I went to the extreme poles of the spectrum because I feel like any game that you put enough hours into and you really love it, like a 5-star, top shelf, top notch, awesome game experience that you pour yourself into, leaves you wanting more. When I finished Super Mario RPG for the first time, I don't know how old I was, but I loved it so much. Like I wished that there'd be some funky Super Nintendo cartridge add-on like Sonic and Knuckles where you could plug it in and there'd be 4 more continents to explore and all these new worlds and all the characters would go from level 30 and now they'd go to level 50 and there'd be additional, like any game where you have that much fun. I mean, Super Mario Brothers, great game. But what if there was a world 9 and 10 and 11 where just a few more levels just for kicks, just for fun? So I think, what game would benefit from DLC? Any game that was good enough to have enough people that thought it was good. It's kind of circular logic, maybe. Point. But now, for patches, though, that's difficult. Because when I think of a bad game, I think of something like Hydlide or Athena on NES. Where you'd have to patch it until it looked like and played like a completely different game until it was good.
Right, and then at that point, why wouldn't you just release a brand new game?
Yeah, so the patch model uniquely doesn't work until later generations of gaming. Imagine a really bad Atari 2600 game. Just imagine one of the bad ones. You can't patch that and make it good. You have to completely redesign core mechanics of how your one joystick and one button interact with what's going on screen to make it fun and rewarding and worth coming back to. You can't just, unless there's like a glitch, but what game has one glitch in it that prevents it from playing? The only one I could think of, so here's my one submission I'll say, Battletoads. You can't beat it 2 players because there's a glitch that prevents you from advancing past a certain stage. Perfect patch situation, but that's the best one I could think of.
I mean, I know I've talked about it before, and man, I'm sorry, but my brain is just fried from this week.
You're doing awesome having a fried brain.
What is the game that you had to have Nintendo Power subscription to be able to play?
Oh, Mylon's Secret Castle.
Yeah,
that,
that could probably
that
use
could,
a patch.
That could be patched, yeah. That's inscrutable. I never use that word, but it comes to mind when I think of Mylon's Secret Castle.
Get some adhesive bandages and just put it right there.
Yep. Surgical tape that bad
stops.
Boy. This is apparently
so it stops
my sign.
Being a pile of shit.
If you put bandages on it, that'll help. Yeah. That'll mask the smell.
I'm so sorry.
The stench really well.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
Oh, well, thanks, Dustin Faber.
Put it in the bag and put it out the pasture.
For a good, or out to pasture.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. Wow. Send me to joke prison.
Okay.
Oh, what's my sentence? How many minutes am I going to be in joke prison?
7.
Okay.
No, you're fine.
So
how's Jason?
I'm in the same boat as you. I'm brain fried.
Getting excited about the Indie PopCon?
I am. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be real good.
Got my plane booked, hotel booked. I'm all set.
Nice. Yeah, I just need to get one more executive ticket for you. And actually, that's it. That's all I need to get.
Cool.
Because you could only buy them you can only buy two.
Oh.
Two came with the table.
Yeah.
And I emailed the guy and I was like, oh, I need a third one because there's three of us. And he's like, oh, yeah. You could just purchase that separately, like once, you know, later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't you just give me another ticket? Like,
I will
why
give
is
you
it
money.
So hard? Yeah, like that was the thing.
That's
and
weird.
I was like, well, we need electric and we need, you know, an extra chair. And he's like, hey, we can take all care of that later. And I'm like, I don't understand why we can't take care of this now. Like,
just
write it down, give me a receipt, and I'll pay for it.
That's
mind boggling.
That's weird. Oh, well.
Where'd Bailey?
Bailey,
go?
Get back here.
I
release you from your prison.
Oh, thank you for pardoning me. I guess I'll be here.
Just like the turkeys.
I'll be present here, but I'll just stop making jokes for the next 5 more minutes.
Man.
Guess what, guys?
Music break.
Music break! Back! That was Focus by Darksim, an ambient Donkey Kong Country remix. Edited for time, I imagine, because the whole track's over 7 minutes long. You can download it for free on the podcast page.
And now it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is the most awesome part of the show, when each of us three hosts has chosen, secretly, a retro video game. And we'll have 1 minute to reveal our choice and briefly explain it. Then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode pretty much just arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast page. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you, and hopefully you can leave comments as well, because we love when those zany discussions erupt on the OneMoreCastle.com podcast episode pages. Now, 2 episodes ago, our theme was merely a special guest free-for-all, because in Jason's absence, we had 2 special guests, Zach and Joshua.
See how that works, Jason? We need 2 people to replace you. Yeah. Thank you. Never leave us.
Never leave ever again. And now Joshua and Zach, I have to mention this. Joshua and Zach took it upon themselves to go on a somewhat notable social media campaign to gather votes. They took the Retro Showdown really seriously, which, you know, props to them. Kudos for that. Thanks, guys, for promoting. I do hope the people that voted actually listened to the podcast.
Right.
I doubt most of them did, but even if we got a few new listeners, totally worth it. The point I'm getting to, though, is Hunter, me and you didn't stand a chance. We got destroyed by far a new record for votes, total cast, votes per game, whatever. Zach won with Contra Hardcore.
Yeah, Zach.
He beat Blue Stinger, Warlords, and Willow with 33 votes to 25, and then Hunter's game got 6, and my game got 3. So,
wow,
that is a truly astounding.
Those are
little
impressive numbers.
Beat down. That's downright embarrassing. So I thought Willow would get some love. Clearly, I was mistaken. No,
I mean.
I was up against.
I'm still looking forward if that helps.
I was up against a Contra game. I mean, what am I gonna do?
And let's face it, you were up to a multiplayer Pong game too. And that's tough.
Yeah, that's
what I should have did. I should have went onto Atari Age and started pimping that out.
You should have. Damn it. Next time you can. We'll show them. Next time a special guest wants to get all uppity on their social media, I can play that game too. We'll take the gloves off and duke it out. I'm ready. We're gonna pimp it
I'll
out.
I'll never so bring another Atari game.
All I know is I voted for Warlords, for what it's worth. I'll just throw that out there. Just a little bit of honesty.
I didn't vote.
So. That's okay. Tonight's showdown theme is an interesting one. I like it. I believe Hunter suggested it. It's games with a dream sequence, or games with dream sequences. So a video game that at some point at least had a dream sequence. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I've explained it like 8 times already. Jason, if you got 1 minute on the clock, I'm ready to introduce my game.
Okay, your voice like cut out 12 times, but I think you said start the stopwatch, so go.
Wow, well, sorry about the technical difficulties, but the good news is, guys, we don't even need to do the showdown tonight. We can just stop right now. You two can quit and go home because I've won. This is one of the by far most universally loved games I've ever seen. Anyone who's played this seems to really like it. Anyone who's played it a lot seems to put it in their favorites. It's a 1990 game on the NES from nice. Capcom. Little Nemo, the Dream Master. It is beautiful! All-directional scrolling platformer with a unique gameplay mechanic. You see, in order to progress in the game, you come across these creatures, and you have to feed candy to them in order to wear their flesh and take on their power. So it's pretty cool.
You're
that's
out of time.
Little Nemo.
Honest to God, you broke up so many times, it sounded like you had to, like, something their flesh on a table.
Hunter, did you hear me? Hunter, did you hear everywhere?
Oh, I heard you.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's just Jason. I hope the viewers are hearing everything.
So his main key point was, as a child, you feed candy to monsters so you can wear their flesh.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And that is a very true statement in this creepy-ass game.
Awesome game. So fun. Hard. It's challenging, though. Like, it's tougher than I remembered, and I remember it being pretty tough. Maybe I'm bad at games now. I don't know.
All right.
Super creepy.
Hunter, are you ready?
I am.
You may begin.
So dreams are a funny thing. You can be whatever you want. Just like my pick in this week's Retro Showdown, The Magical Quest, starring Mickey Mouse. Released on the Super NES in November 1992, you play the part of the lovable Disney-created Mickey Mouse, whom, while playing catch with his friends, runs off after his trusty canine companion Pluto and lands into a mysterious land. Battling your way through many levels of this challenging and fun platformer, you come across many villains from the Disney universe. Along the way, you can pick up different outfits that suit Mickey with new abilities such as a fireman or a genie. A fun, interesting, and beautiful game, The Magical Quest, starring Mickey Mouse.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey Magical Quest. All right.
Magical Quest, starring Mickey Mouse.
I really thought one of you was going to either bring that Zelda game that's a dream, or Super Mario Bros. 2, which is also a dream.
I was expecting.
I'm really glad you didn't.
Right. Why? Jason, did you do that?
Because my pick this week is the 1989 classic Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Oh.
For the NES. Playing as Tom Sawyer, you fall asleep during class and go into a dream world where you have to save Becky from Injun Joe. That's right. It's a game that would not be made these days. As you save Becky from Injun Joe, because apparently the author's a racist. Damn you, Mark Twain. You go through several levels, side-scrolling, defeating people with rocks. And just to prove how insane this game is, the first boss... Mind you, remember, this takes place in the Deep South. First boss is a giant octopus. Third level boss is a giant purple ape. And finally, when you go to fight Injun Joe, he looks like Goku, who's gone Super Saiyan, has a bow and arrow, and is riding a sad Brontosaurus. But don't worry, if you save Becky, the Brontosaurus is happy. That's Adventures of Tom Sawyer for the NES.
Actually true, even though it's not a it's an apatosaurus.
Oh gosh, I know, it's really an apatosaurus. This is what we're gonna argue Whatever. About
yeah it is it's an apatosaurus.
Oh man, this definitely did not turn out like I thought it was going to.
Yeah
that's
I was kind of hoping that somebody would have picked Daydreaming Davy.
Daydreaming Davy, I almost did, but no, I had to pick Little Nemo. Hunter, can I start with you?
Oh, please, God, get me over with.
Did you pre-write your intro?
Yeah, why?
He always pre-writes his intro.
It was interesting. There's a couple phrases you use. Like, I'm a word nerd. I really like to. Like when you said he lands in a mysterious land. Like, it's just such an obnoxiously repetitive phrase. Just using the same word twice. That's funny. And when you said different outfits that suit Mickey. That is a clever pun, my friend. And did you even know the double meaning there? Different outfits that suit Mickey. That's so good. Good for you.
Thanks.
That really tickled my grammar bone.
I was going to feel like I'm in middle school again. Just give me the grade so we can move on.
It's just maybe I should pre-write mine because I feel like I'm just improvising and yours are actually like really good. Although... you said
although
now, this has nothing to do with grammar, but you said that Mickey was playing catch with his friends.
Yeah, so he's playing catch with Donald Duck and Goofy, and they're throwing the ball back and forth.
What kind of ball?
I think it's a baseball.
They're just like throwing a baseball back and forth.
Yeah, they're playing. Have you never played catch before?
I have, but like don't know.
Playing
not
catch
with
is
a
fun.
Duck. That's weird.
Well, it's with a dog as well that can talk, but yet the other dog can't. So I don't know which one. I didn't create
playing,
Disney. So.
Playing with a ball with a dog makes sense. That's all I'm saying.
Right. That's no, that's
with,
not
with
what
a duck. Ducks don't play with balls. You know.
Right.
Am no, I wrong on you. This, Jason? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the premise of the whole game, the credibility is eroded from the very first scene.
Well, like, okay.
No duck plays ball.
Okay. Well, I can shed a little light on the situation if that's okay.
Please bring me to the light shed.
Okay. Then we can go back to your, you know, nightmare creating video game that you brought.
Yes.
So the game starts out that you're playing catch with your friends. You throw the ball.
I still can't
too
get
far.
Past that part. That's so weird.
We need to get past it so I can finish what I'm saying.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
You throw the ball, goes out too far. Your dog Pluto runs off. You run after Pluto. You fall down like this giant steep hill, and you end up in a mysterious land. You battle through all these areas. You fight all these villains, only to find out that the entire game is a dream. And when Mickey wakes up and says, "Oh, I guess it was a dream," Donald, the duck that he's playing catch with at the beginning of the game, mm-hmm. pops his head through the window and says, "Hey, Mickey, you need to wake up. We're going to play catch." So it's actually not even technically a dream, but more of a an astounding knowledge of seeing the future. So it goes beyond dreams.
It could be possible that he knew they were going to play catch. He was so excited about it. He dreamed about it when he took a little nap. And, you know, that's possible.
I just think that's pretty deep for a Disney game. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's some Inception level stuff going on. That's, you know, think about why is he, did he know before? Did he know after? Is the top still spinning? Is the ball still being thrown too far?
Is the top still spinning? Stupid movie. Anyway,
Jason,
sorry.
Can I move on to you?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Jason, okay. Classic. So you said the game is racist, or Mark Twain is racist.
Because your game sucks.
Is it possible that Mark Twain wasn't? I mean, he may have been racist, but is it possible that he was just portraying racism?
No, he's noted for going on record by calling all natives savages by nature.
So he was like
he's a legitimate racist.
He was. He's passed.
Was. No, he's still alive. And a racist.
What, in your heart?
Mark Twain is not still alive.
So, I don't know. Oh, sorry. It's not a Aptosaurus. It appears to be the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, of course!
Loch Ness. Come on.
I stand corrected. Not.
Scott from the it swam across the it's
there's also a gargoyle fight. I get it's a dream, but at the same time Tom Sawyer doesn't have 18, a reference to any of these in that time period.
He wouldn't have known about the Loch Ness Monster. So he's a psychic too. You both have these weird games where the dreams can't be real, which doesn't even make sense to begin with. It's not a Kong is a question. Anyway, it's.
Yeah. But my game's great for what it is.
I've brought this up before, but I think that Tom Sawyer's one of those games that they just threw the license on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Clearly, they were making a Super Mario Brothers clone. That's all they were doing.
Well,
and
but
so,
the.
I don't know. I mean, actually, you know what would be a. Go ahead.
I'm just saying the developer, Winkysoft, still exists. They release one or two games a year.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Especially considering how bad the music is in Tom Sawyer. Let me look that up.
The reason the music's bad is because it doesn't seem like it's actually composed. It's just somebody slamming their head on a keyboard.
That really does lack any sense of harmony or...
Yeah. I didn't mind the music. I've heard
you're
worse.
You're strange. I'm not saying
well,
I haven't heard worse, but I mean...
Right. I mean, he's a PC gamer. Of course he's heard worse.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Internal Whoa. PC. Whoa. Oh, maybe Whoa. Wikisoft doesn't exist anymore. Their last game was in 2011.
3DS game, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What was it?
Japanese
Dr. Lautrec to Bakayu no Kishidan? Let me put it this way. Back when I wrote the review for Tom Sawyer, they still existed. But they have since died. They canceled a PlayStation 2 game at an unknown date.
That's interesting.
Throughout the late 90s and early 2000s, they were releasing several games a year. But RIP Winkysoft!
And I mean, this Tom Sawyer, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, I mean, it doesn't look that bad.
No, it's an average game.
It's your standard NES platformer.
Like, but yeah, like that's exactly what it is. It's like, you know, they're just cashing in on, you know, Super Mario clones. That's all it is. It's a Super Mario
cashing in on that lucrative Tom Sawyer IP.
Yeah, it's surely not as beautiful of a game as The Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse.
No, it's not.
I'll give it that. I don't see a kid going, "No, Mom, I don't want Mario. I don't want a Mickey game. I want a Tom Sawyer game."
Right, yeah.
but I wonder how many moms got it for their kids, because I thought it would be like educational. Like, oh, expose them to classic literature. Then Big Purple Ape!
Yeah.
You can go and fight mummies and witches.
I don't remember that part in the book myself, but...
No. What do I know? I never... Actually, no, I take that back. I've never read Tom Sawyer.
I read Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
I was going to say, I've read The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, like, I don't know how many times. I've never read Tom Sawyer, though. So, wait, is there a purple ape in Tom Sawyer?
You can go to NintendoLegend.com.
Jellies?
And the blog post on Adventures of Tom Sawyer. I just said Tom Lawyer. That's funny. Yeah, the last screenshot on the blog post shows the purple gorilla. So check that out, NintendoLegend.com. The blog post on Adventures of Tom Sawyer has the purple gorilla.
You also fight Zeus.
Oh, no, not Target Renegade. No, not again.
Yeah, I actually updated my blog, guys. I hadn't done it in 4 months, and then I did it last week. Isn't that exciting?
I am excited for you. You gave it 2.5. Man. That's not too bad.
I gave it 2. Where does it say 2.5?
I've got 2.5 little Mario stars sitting right here.
I'm looking at 2 on my screen. I gave it 2. You must have a magic computer.
I mean, do you want me to see her? No.
Yeah, I'll screen cap mine, too. We can play this game. Cool.
Well, I was going to just do the screen share, but...
Oh.
That's a little bit
easier.
If I
knew how to do that.
Right. No, it's fine. All right. You ready?
Sure. We're sharing screens time on this right now.
And we're looking at Bailey, and we're going back here. Does everybody see it? And we go back here. Tom Sawyer.
There
we go.
Stars. See it?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Target Renegade.
No.
Still. You said that like right after. Oh, Target Renegade. Oh, you gave it 2.5 stars? Yeah. Avengers Tom Sawyer, 2.5 stars. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I gave
confused
it.
Now.
It's slightly better than Target Renegade. I stick by it.
All right, so let's talk about little Mr.
Little
P,
Nemo,
little
please,
Mr. P the bed.
Please. Yes, pee the bed. Let's talk about peeing the bed. I'm ready for this. Man.
I haven't done it in gosh, I don't know how long—a few hours.
You're so funny tonight.
Were you peeing on the beds at your work?
Man, you have no idea how many times I've thought about doing that. That's not true.
Every day.
What is this crappy raft scene? What is this? Jason, your game sucks. All right.
Whoa.
Little Nemo.
Whoa.
Still thought you were talking about Adventures of Tom Sawyer there. Cause it has a crappy
better, it's better than Nemo.
No, it is not. Little Nemo is good.
Little Nemo sucks.
Good.
And you know it.
Well, no, I don't. Like, my voice is cracking. Like, I'm so genuinely surprised to hear someone say, I can't even say the phrase you said about Little Nemo plus sucks equals a phrase I can't even bring myself to say. Like, I can't. Nobody says. Have you played it, Jason?
No.
Okay. So anyone who's played it likes it. That's just how it works. Hunter, go ahead.
No, I was just going to make a comment. I think all of our games, the entire game takes place as a dream.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, there's cuts to a dream sequence or anything. I think they all... That's weird.
Yeah. I'm so glad because I was hoping like I wouldn't have to get off on some technicality and explain. Well, you know, it's technically a sequence, even though it's the whole game. But you two did it too, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, we're not going to play that game. Okay, so you have to I've played this game countless number of times. Currently, don't own it, but I just don't understand the premise of feeding candy to monsters.
Well, it convinces them to like you enough, to like you so much that they will lend you their flesh, their very skin.
Aren't they alive after powers. This?
Yeah, yeah, they just... You right out. Right out. There you go.
I don't get it.
Crawl right into their bodies, man. It's like, so cool.
I just don't So what... Okay, so it looks like they use the Ghosts and Goblins engine. It's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah. I think that's a fair guess.
So, I know it's a dream, and the whole game takes place in a dream, and I get that. You know, but...
But...
As a child, having a dream where you are talking to monsters, mm-hmm. that is a nightmare, man. Like, that's not a dream.
You didn't have those kind of dreams and nightmares as a kid? I mean, maybe I was messed up, but that's... I can relate to that.
No. Talking to monsters? No.
Maybe not talking to them, but like killing them or being killed by them. I didn't talk to them very much.
I dreamt about monsters and stuff. They never lent me their flesh.
Right!
Well, you guys had some boring dream lives, let me tell you. You gotta wear their flesh!
Like,
come on, get with it!
How much...
That's what lucid dreaming's all about.
How
wearing
much
the flesh of monsters.
Drugs.
Monster
do you have
flesh!
To do? That's what it is, man. Like, doesn't make
what's
any
in
sense.
What's in that candy?
And
what do you think
it's based
candy's...
off of a movie?
No, it's based on, like, a comic.
What is the candy? Is it acid? Is it spiked candy?
Yes, because that's what lets you wear the skin of animals willingly.
Well, I don't know. Does
Have
it?
You given acid to a squirrel? Did it suddenly crawl up to you and be like, yes, wear my flesh? Like,
I've never done any of that.
Yeah, no. Never.
And
try
the
it sometime. Let me know how it goes.
The creepiest thing about this entire game is the smile that Nemo wears when he is wearing a monster's flesh. It is the creepiest thing. He is so happy to be doing
so
it.
So happy. I am the monster flesh. I am the creature skin. I am the essence.
It's just, oh,
the skin
man.
Stealer. Oh, Nemo. I'm so fond of you.
What happens if you run out of candy?
You don't.
You never run out of candy.
It's just a regular move. Just tossing candy out there.
Huh. Wait, where's the challenge then?
Oh, you play the game. It's tough. There's precision.
So you're just feeding candy to monsters the entire game.
There's parts and bits you need to. I mean, it's frequent, but it's not like 100% of the time.
Well, it's a different idea rather than picking up items or something like that.
Yeah. It's
which
better...
also a clever idea would be to putting on costumes to get abilities, much like the Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse.
Or Mario.
That is correct. Yeah, but like he's like an actual... He looks like a for real firefighter. He's got the hose and everything.
Mario?
No, Mickey Mouse. Huh. Mario.
Jason, I'm with you. Hunter's having a really bad time sticking his pronouns and nouns in the right places in terms of referring to things tonight.
No, I'm trying to... I'm continuing conversations that I'm saying. Really? Alright, that's fine.
So, Angel Hernandez stopped in for the comments and said, I think YouTube needs DLC, for goodness sake.
That's nice.
Funny. Yes. Thank you, Angel.
Yeah, that's funny.
Dustin Faber says, still a better use of keys than Chip's challenge.
Oh, come
there
on.
You go, Jason. Thank you, Dustin Faber.
He's wrong.
And Rizzard Core says, Tom Sawyer wins. Wait, why am I happy about that? No. That's not my game.
No, it's not. Your
game's my brain
kid
just,
with
my brain
hair.
Just read NES game must be mine. NES game, it's not. We brought different NES games to the table.
Purple hair. Doesn't make any sense. He's a kid.
What's wrong with purple hair?
Well, he's like, what, 2, 3 years old?
No, he's like 6.
Okay, he's 6. Wait a second. Does his hair turn black when he jumps on the lizard? It does.
It turns whatever color it needs to not clash with the monster flesh.
So, name's messed up.
Wait, so hold on a second. Was that in the instruction booklet? Did I have to read that?
No, they or don't, like, tell
do I
you
have
that
to infer?
Offhand.
I have to assume.
Well, sometimes it crawls in deep enough. You don't even see his hair. You just see like his little visage. You know, his face is.
It's just. I mean, when he feeds. Out. Okay, so the candy, and Little Nemo. Because apparently, I got to work on my pronouns.
Thank. I know what you're talking about now. Oh, wasn't yeah. this Jason? Okay.
The candy and Little Nemo.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you sons of bitches. they're sleeping pills. Because when you feed a monster enough of them, he falls asleep.
Oh.
And then he gets into their mouth.
That's disturbing. Hunter,
that's
gross.
What he's doing. Isn't
tranquilizing them? Then like crawling inside their flesh and then popping out the poor.
Isn't that what the bubbles
have to wake up
means?
Later? He's what? What did you say, Jason?
He's tranquilizing them, skinning them.
It's just the skin. He's just like numbing them. He's like, it's like an anesthetic. They don't feel it.
You know what?
He's a parasite inside of them.
But they're awake the whole time, just like it's all.
Oh, wow. We're going to some disturbing realities with this.
Really?
But
we are?
Your game
doesn't?
What do you need?
No, the game. I think the disturbing elements of the game enhance its quality. I think it's a really profound statement and a deeper game than your average typical 8-bit fare. At least Nemo doesn't look like Goku.
That's true.
Well, and it's not a dynasty that Mickey Mouse has become either. So,
the thing about Mickey Mouse. Magical adventure, whatever. Magic Quest.
Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse.
It's never the first or second Mickey Mouse game people think of. When you ask a retro gamer, hey, name a Mickey Mouse game, they will always name Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusion.
Right.
And maybe Mickey Mouse and Mousecapade, the NES game.
Maybe.
They won't name the Magical Quest.
Starring Mickey Mouse.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the subtitle.
Well, if you want to talk about pronouns, man, get my title.
It's just not as good. It's just a little more than the rest.
Right.
Not that Mousecapade is great, but Castle of Illusion is the classic Mickey game.
Right. Castle of Illusion is the god tier when it comes to Mickey Mouse games, and probably even Disney games.
Yeah. That's pretty
but,
fair.
I mean, there were so many fun aspects about Magical Quest that haven't been touched on except for their sequels. You know,
whatever.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm whatevering your statement.
So I would rather put on a costume to get the ability than to tranquilize a pathetic animal, essentially. And crawl into its mouth, completely removing every vital organ, killing it.
He doesn't remove; he just displaces temporarily. Just
does he consume? Does
That's
he consume the organs?
No.
Like,
so
is he consuming their essence?
He does
he just
this.
Shoves inside of them, and he pops out, and they're fine. They're fine when he leaves them.
He does all of this for maybe 15 seconds, and then he's done. And
the
carcass is left to die.
You have to dig through the sand, you get the mole, and...
Not only is that whole
You're wearing
idea
animal
creepy,
flesh right now.
No, I'm not. Well,
yeah, you are. Cotton. People wear fur all the time. Skin and leather.
Listen, you're just upset that hair. Nemo Pajama Hero sucks.
I'm not upset. Pajama Hero is a funny, quirky name. That's not even an insult. It would be pretty cool if it was called Little Nemo Pajama Hero.
It was in Japan.
It rhymes. Well, there you go. I didn't know that, and that is cool.
I didn't know you could be a hero wearing pajamas.
That's the best kind of hero. That's Superman.
Well, I mean, you know, Superman
he wore pajamas
wears
for like
his
75
outside,
years.
So.
Yeah, outside and inside out.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if that part's true. I just came out of my mouth.
Threw it out there.
I like
it. Well, it has to be inside out so you don't see the... Where the crotch separates for when
Yeah.
The flap.
Yes, this is the flap. Yes. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you. Thank you.
It's all about visual aids. It's all about visual aids. Here, let me just show you mine.
So, is Pluto really a trusty canine companion, as you called him, Hunter, if he leads Mickey Mouse astray into this crazy land that tries to kill him?
Yes, because regardless of what kind of attitude and thought process Pluto has, he's still a dog.
Yeah, so but he, Goofy's a dog.
Goofy is a talking dog, which breaks out of the paradigm of what we consider natural.
I don't think Goofy's a dog. I think Goofy is lying. I think Goofy is something else, and Pluto really isn't. Pluto's just a dog.
So what do you think?
Maybe Pluto's the weird one. I don't know. Just
freak. See, the way that I always thought of Pluto was that, like, he can do everything. He can do everything. He can talk.
Doesn't.
But he refuses not to because the rest of the Disney cast are idiots.
Okay, that's fair. Like, he's, like, super suave and intellectual.
And debonair, yeah. And he gets chicks all the time. And oh, I can say this, and it works. He gets bitches all the time.
Yes! Nice! Wow!
Yes!
You are on a whole nother level tonight, Hunter. That's
so
four
tired.
Different, very quotable things you've said. Wow. Picking episode titles is going to be really tough for this one. But
Magical Quest.
Just bitches.
Just picking up bitches. Yeah. Just bitches.
So you said there's many villains from the Disney universe?
Yeah, so there's, I mean, sadly.
Refresh our memories.
I'm going to have to pull up their names. I know what
they look like. Wow.
I'm sorry. Okay, so whoever Goofy's usually the guy that he fights against.
Whoever Goofy.
The Goofy.
I know who you're talking about. I'm sorry.
I don't remember his name.
I know who you're talking about now. The big fat snouty.
Yeah, it starts with a P. It's like pull something. Yeah.
Pull something?
Pegleg Pete.
Yes.
Pete. So he's like the big guy behind all of it. Sadly, there was a version of this game set for the Sega Genesis, but it got abandoned. I don't know why they would do that to the Sega Genesis. Hmm. Stupid Capcom, and they're canceling games that they should port to real consoles and putting children in crazy situations and expecting people to buy their.
Wow.
Cartridge.
So not only did you completely dodge my question, but I think it's time for final arguments.
Yeah. Wait, what was your question? I'll answer it. I'm sorry.
Just refresh our memory on what villains were included. You named one.
Pegleg Pete.
He's the big.
Well, he's like the main boss at the end.
Really? Pegleg Pete?
Yeah.
I guess he is like generic. He's not tied to a movie, so it kind of makes sense. But.
Right.
I don't want any more. Whatever.
Well, then fine.
Yeah, Hunter, I'll give you one more chance. What's your final argument? Why should anyone vote for a generic Mickey game 1.0?
You should vote for the Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse because it's actually one of the most beautiful games ever released on the Super NES. It's one of the most challenging. And who doesn't like Mickey Mouse? I mean, really? MickEymouse. Mickey Mouse.
MickEy. And Jason is next. So, Jason, final argument. Why should anyone vote for ASP Air Strike Patrol?
Because, oh, God. Don't.
Please, stop.
Don't.
It hurts.
Yeah, but seriously, you should vote for the Tom Sawyer game abroad. In Clue Clue Land.
Oh, man.
You should vote for Tom Sawyer in Clue Clue Land because it's a nice historical period piece.
Did you say historical?
I'm so tired.
Earlier, Hunter said.
That is Jason's plea.
Hunter said we were going off the rails tonight, but you know what? I'm gonna give you one quote here. Sometimes going off the rails makes the ride more exciting. You should vote for Little Nemo, the Dream Master, because it's the creepiest game ever made the more you think about it. And that makes it fantastic. It's also a really good game and challenging. So mm-hmm. I want to thank those mm-hmm. who tuned in to the live stream tonight. Thanks for watching live. Thanks to those who are going to watch it later. And thank you even mostly so, the top tippy top biggest thanks for those who actually commented on the live stream video. Rizzard Core, Dustin Faber, Angel Hernandez, Jed Presgrove, good to see ya. Scott Olek, glad to hear you are alive. Thanks to all of you. Just a reminder, please support our featured artists. It's usually a free MP3 download. Just check it out. And send us listener email discussion questions, podcast@onemorecastle.com. Spread the word. Check out the podcast, whatever form you want. We broadcast the live stream 7:30 p.m. Central Time on Thursdays, usually.
Except for tonight.
Follow One More Castle at One More Castle on Twitter. I'm at @Nintendo_Legend. I'm happy to say that NintendoLegend.com is back in business with new blog updates. No guarantee how quickly I'll put them out, but they're going to be there. I'm just saying, I can't.
Us up and then you knock us down.
That's the game Eric Bailey plays. Hunter, any shout-outs, plugs?
You can also follow me on Twitter @EricHunter. My indie game review blog is imericm.com. And I don't think we really say it enough, but One More Castle is also on Facebook, and we are also on Twitter. So please subscribe, like, follow. Because some of the content shows up elsewhere. I mean, all of the content's going to be on the website, but you get different discussions.
Yeah, I will say the Twitter, I mean, interacts differently, but the Facebook has exclusive discussion questions. This week I asked, if you owned an arcade, how would you run it and market it? What would be your business plan for the next 20 years? And it was interesting to see how people said that. So yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Facebook.com/onemorecastle. We like to ask discussion questions there that you won't see anywhere else.
And you got more than 140 characters to do it with, so.
Absolutely.
Jason!
I'm going to give a shout out. You can follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb. I'm going to give a shout out to Pepsi.
Jason Lamb! Pepsi Man!
Oh, God.
Jason Lamb! I thought we were done with that.
We're not. The game I vote. I'm voting for not Pepsi. My games the past few weeks. Pepsi Man just looks like a lot of fun.
It looks fun.
No. It looks like a fun game.
No.
You know what? I'm going to say, take your vote from this week, go back to last week's poll, and vote for Pepsi Man.
That's kind of weird.
Don't want any of that.
But there you have it. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for watching, live stream viewers. But remember, listeners, most importantly, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!